Shaw and Partners, Andrew Kelleher, good morning.
Very good morning, Mike.
Those job numbers, what did you see? Do we see anything good there?
There is, if you look really, really hard. I mean, so I suppose running through all the headline numbers, the unemployment printed 5.3, very much in line with expectations, so called pretty well by the economists. So nothing to see in terms of surprises in the outcome. But I think, as has been mentioned, there are 160,000 people unemployed, because I think it's always useful to look at the absolute numbers, and that's the highest number of unemployed people we've seen since 1994. You were just talking about youth unemployment. I really do think this number needs to be talked about. Yeah, 15.2% for that 15 to 24-year-old bracket. But, Mike, that was at 13.1 a year ago, so that's quite a substantial move. And actually, the 15 to 19 bracket is even higher than that 15%. So those people were all drafted into the workforce when labour's in short supply. Now they've been moved basically out of work. And so that's probably, you're not going to see that recover, though, until you see the actual labour market recover. Now, one of the key points is the participation rate. It fell from 70.5 to 70.3, so it means people have removed themselves from the workforce. That's not good. It's the discouraged worker effect. The participation rate is its lowest since 2020. And of course, if those people hadn't removed themselves from the workforce, that unemployment rate would be even higher. Employment, as opposed to unemployment, fell 0.6%, and the underutilisation rate, as people who would like to be working more, at 12.9%, means there are 406,000 people that want more work. Now, not unsurprisingly, this all means that wages aren't moving up as fast as they were. The labour cost index rose 2.1%, that's the private sector. So that's a four-year low, and I suspect if people do get wage rises this year, it's going to be very low single-digit numbers. Employment falling in the construction, public administration, healthcare and professional services sectors. You've seen some gains in manufacturing. That's good to see. And, of course, we've got this regional discrepancy which is being talked about. Again, not particularly unsurprising, the South Island sitting at 4%. Auckland sitting at 6.1, so a lot higher in the urban centres. If you're looking for the flickers of growth, Mike, there are some there. And so you've got the Household Labour Force Survey and the Quarterly Employment Survey. The HLFS had a 0.9% lift in hours worked. That's really good to see. You also saw that corroborated in the Quarterly Employment Survey and lift in jobs and hours worked there as well. So I think that is a precursor for stability. So it could indicate that this is the peak. Big picture comments, it's a massive data dump. But if you look at the quarterly employment growth, take out all the volatility, it's dead flat. The employment market's not really going anywhere, and pressure coming off wages. There doesn't seem to be anything in these numbers standing in the way of a further 25 basis point cut in the OCR in November. I guess that's how you'd summarise it.
And bring it on. What about China?
Yeah, Mike, we're just seeing quite a bit of really mixed commentary about China. You read one report, it says the economy is recovering. You read another one, you say it isn't recovering. It's still our key export partner. So you do get these mixed signals, and we've had evidence of this in the last couple of days. Remember, we sometimes talk about the Kaijin PMI, the Private Sector Purchasing Managers Index. Well, it's got a new name. It's now called, which is a slightly more sort of descriptive, it's called the Rating Dog PMI, and it's now travelling in a different direction from manufacturing. So here's the conundrum. Manufacturing PMI released a couple of days ago. It was weak, but that's not what's evident in the services sector. The services sector, 52.6, it's an expansion. It's been an expansion since 2023, but manufacturing is in the doldrums. It's sitting under 50. It's the lowest it's been since April this year. You bring them together and you've got the composite index, which is at bang on 50, neither contractionary or expansionary. The vibe, I think, is that if you get further deterioration in these sort of PMI numbers, you're going to see more government stimulus. So we've got to keep a close eye on that and the trade numbers going forward. And Mike, you just quickly mentioned that ADP employment number, which is quite good. Another data point overnight, the ISM, the CISIS index, 52.4. That was quite a lift, quite positive.
Good.
But inside the data, prices paid has gone up. That throws a spotlight on inflation. We've seen a big shift up in the 10-year bond rate overnight.
We have. Hey, this time next week, are you prepared for the breakfast thing that we're doing?
Ah, absolutely.
Good.
You've got to be there.
Because I said to someone yesterday, it's full. Is it not full?
Not quite. We need a few more people.
Okay. Do you want to give your phone number out and we can ring you? What do you want to do?
Well, my phone number's everywhere. You know, anybody can ring me. I get everyone ringing me. Yeah, yeah. Don't answer all the calls, obviously. But next Thursday, go online, shorepartners.co.nz, sign up there.
It's well worth it. I've done two of them. I mean, there's only been two. But I've reviewed it well every year, and you've turned up and done quite well as well. So if people want to listen to what you've got to say.
It's the supporting act as ever, Mike.
Exactly. Well, what are the numbers?
47,241 on the Dow Jones. It's up a third of a percent. S&P 500 up 0.5%, 6805. The NASDAQ up just under 1%, so bouncing back from the sell-off, 23,567. FTSE 100, 9777, up 0.2%. Nikkei volatile, it's down 1,285 points, 50,212. Shanghai Composite up 0.25%, 3969. The Aussies yesterday lost 12 points, 8802 on the ASX 200. And the NZX 50 up 15 points, 13,621.1%. And the dollar 0.5662 against the US, 0.8693 against the Aussie, 0.4930 euro, 0.4339 pounds. 87.25 Japanese yen, gold $3,986, and Brent crude $63.91.
See you tomorrow, Andrew Kelleher, Shore and Partners.